Yeah, the when it's whole foods, it just it's a lot to eat to digest.
Do you want some help with that? You want some hacks on how to get some more calories in?
Sure.
Is it a time thing, like you don't have time, or is it like you just don't want to eat the volume of food?
Both actually. Well, and I also just came off of a unfortunately a 3 month kitchen reno. So actually doing prepped food was problematic. So it was easy when there was lots of shakes and things like that to get it in, but now when it's more whole foods, it's a little more difficult than my stomach's used to.
Yeah, so I'll give you just some thoughts, right? So when you're, and this is relevant to everybody. So when you're dieting and you want more volume of food, you want to eat things like I want to eat a whole steak rather than when I'm eating when I'm having a hard time getting all the calories in, then I'll shift to more things like ground meats, right? Like that simple shift can make a huge difference in like your ability to get in food. So as an example, if I'm trying to get in a huge amount of protein, I'll eat like a whole pound of ground meat. Whereas if I'm, you know, eating, if I'm dieting, I want to make sure I chew the heck out of that food. So I'll have like a 6 ounce or 8 ounce steak. And that's a very different experience as far as like the satiety, right? Because you can smash a whole pound of ground meat in a small amount of time, relatively easy to get down. Same thing with carbohydrates, right? If I'm eating, if I'm dieting, I want to eat like a whole sweet potato rather than when I'm trying to get huge amounts of calories in, I'll eat things like rice cakes, cream of rice. You know, the smaller grains of oats, things like that. I'll put honey and maple syrup on my oats just so I'm getting more calories in, right? So learning, looking for ways that like, so you're always in the realm of whole foods, but you can kind of shift the level of, you know, like a rice cake is very different than eating 2 cups of rice as far as like getting massive amounts of calories in. So like same relative nutrient profile, but slightly different digestive properties. So just start looking for things that allow you to get more calories in that way. Yeah. So as an example, like a, if I'm trying to get a lot of calories in meal, you know, there may be 8 to 10 rice cakes and a couple cans of salmon or something, because very high, you know, super easy to digest, super fast. You know, I kind of pride myself on these like 7 minute muscle meals. Like, what can I get done in 7 to 10 minutes? Because like I get time is a thing. Time is a huge thing for me. I don't want to spend huge amounts of time prepping these extravagant meals. So I'll get like, you know, again, depending if I'm dieting or bulking, those are very different approaches. Does anyone else have questions on this stuff? Christian, anything for you that
No.
in that realm that might be supportive? No. Okay. Anyone else have questions about anyone else having a hard time getting the calories in or ultimately being hungry all the time? No. Okay. Hey, Spencer, happy birthday, brother.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Like fine wine, right? Every day, brother. Getting better.
Every day. I only feel older today.
Never, man. Dude, I think we're going to redefine old age. I got buddies in their 60s who just look phenomenal. Like, I think we're going to keep getting better, which I'm excited about. Is Russ here? I see you. I thought I saw you. Yeah, he's driving. Russ, man,
That looks great. Yeah, I'm here.
congratulations, brother. You look just phenomenal. You said you're
Thank you.
55. You're at 55?
55 on Friday.
Bro, good for you, man. That's like talk about setting a new standard, right?
Thank you. Thank you
Yeah,
so
man.
much.
Good for you.
I mean, you guys provide great examples.
I think we're all just doing our best, right? We're all existing in this reality and supporting each other to be the best versions of ourselves, man. So, men, I appreciate all of you guys. All of you guys are inspiration. Thanks for us. Any words of wisdom to the young chaps here on like what really allowed you to succeed?
Consistency, supplementation, discipline, and a firm belief that aging is inevitable, but getting old is a choice. I'm not getting old.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. And man, so I'd love to actually spend some time talking about how training has changed or how you mentally frame training, right? So getting old is losing strength, which is the last thing to go. Losing speed, which is the first thing to go. Actually, so I think strength is second. No, speed's the first thing to go. Strength is second. Muscle is actually third. Strength and muscle can be interchangeable for some people. But the first thing is, like, do you have any special, like, mental framing, Russ, around how you approach your training? Because I know, like, mobility is going to go, right? And you got to be very diligent with losing the mobility, not losing the mobility, not losing the speed. Anything that's helped you mentally?
Yeah, I was going to say mobility, I think, is one of the first things to go for a lot of people. I think one of the things that's helped me the most is, what am I training for? And it's got to be something bigger than myself. You know, with my martial arts training, self-defense training, there's a mindset of always be ready, because there's people that are going to need me to be able to step up. And if I'm incapable of doing so, that's going to be a really bad day. So
yeah,
that higher calling to my training, it's about sharpening the sword on a daily basis.
Are you still doing the martial arts training now?
Yeah. I'm an instructor in the Mastro Defense System under Fred Mastro, who is based out of Belgium. So not a lot of people have heard of him, but if you ever saw the movie Taken with Liam Neeson, he's the guy who trained Liam for that film. So the hand-to-hand, you've seen that movie, is what we do. It's close quarters. He's trained special forces units, counterterrorism, homeland security, SWAT, police, bodyguards all over the world. So, yeah.
He's still training people in Belgium?
Yeah. Yeah. He was just in the U.S. Recently. I was in October. I was in Indiana for 10 days working with him.
Dude, if you could send me his contact, I'd actually fly over to Belgium to do that work. So that's something that I'm super fascinated with, man. I'd love to do some of that stuff.
Or you and I can get together and I'll teach you MDS, okay, and you meet through some brutal workouts.
Yeah, Don, are you coming to Costa Rica?
I'm not able to come to Costa Rica this time. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Cool, yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So that, man, you brought up something there that's really important. The young guys don't see it yet, but the old guys will. And also say this, if any of you guys know anyone struggling with substance abuse, the key to getting out of substance abuse is very similar to the key to staying fit when you're old. It has to be about something bigger than yourself. And not everyone finds that. Some guys coming out of substance abuse find God, right? And that, it doesn't have to be about God, but it can be. But it can be about some mission that wakes you up every day. And you're like, I'm inspired to take action every day toward this bigger mission. And therefore, I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of my body and take care of my mind. And the second you guys find that, everything else becomes easier, right? So if you guys have ever had a hard time getting up in the morning to do your workout, you're like, like, as an example, the Mr. Olympia contest for me, how can you not get up in the morning and being like, holy shit, I want to go do my cardio. I want to get my meals in. Like, you have a mission that's bigger than you. And again, that's just my example, but you guys, when you find it for you, everything becomes easy. And maybe your kids, and maybe your legacy, but you really got to connect the values, that the things that you place highest on your value hierarchy, with your actions, right? What are those actions? So, like, if you feel yourself getting older and you're like, man, I want to be here for my grandkids, and you have to be inspired by that, it makes everything so much easier, right? But you really got to connect it. Yeah. So anyone has a hard time getting those extra calories in, or those extra cardios in, or those extra reps in, you just got to connect in your brain, and it has to be an inspired mission. And so the inspiration is the thing that, you know, that brings a tear to your eye, man. You're like, I won't let that happen, or I'm going to make that happen. You know, that thing that really touches you deep in your soul. So yeah, Russ, acknowledging you, man, incredible job. All of you guys are doing an incredible job. I'm sure there's been some other monthly winners on here. So we said we'd get on today and we would talk about some testosterone stuff. You know, if you guys have noticed in the podcast lately, I've been putting a huge amount of emphasis on trying to get to the bottom of it all, right? Trying to really provide a really good resource for everyone, myself included, to understand what's kind of current, what's cutting edge, how do we optimize testosterone? And what I'll say this, there's a small number of goals when it comes to testosterone, right? There's a small number of avatars and a small number of goals. I'll explain what that means. So there's natural guys who, you know, you feel great. You're like, man, I'm good. But you know, your decline is coming, right? You're like, at some point I have to pay attention to what's happening. So like, you're natural. You're like, my testosterone is not a concern. My sex drive is great. My muscle building is great. That's a small number of people. Then there's the natural guys who are like, nah, I want some help, man. Like, I feel like my testosterone is declining. My sex drive isn't the same. My motivation is the same. My body composition is not the same. So there's this natural group who like wants some support. And we'll talk about what that looks like. And you're like, I don't want to take testosterone yet. I'm not there yet. How do I optimize my testosterone naturally? That's a real thing. Then there's the guys who are like, you know what? I'm natural, but I'm ready to take testosterone. So how do I do it safely? How do I do it effectively? Then there's the guys who are like, hey, you know, I'm already on testosterone and I want to make sure it's working most. I don't really feel the results. How do I make sure I'm doing it healthy and most effectively? Then there's the guys who have said, you know, I was on testosterone in the past and I'm not sure that I want to continue, or, you know, I'm trying to optimize naturally. So we have these kind of like small subcategories of guys who we want to support. And so if we start with the natural guys and like the guys who are like, hey man, I'm natural. I want to stay natural. I want to optimize my stuff naturally. The first and most important thing is body composition. It's hard to say which is most important, but let's say this, the two biggest things that I would say are within the realm of your control are environmental toxins and body composition. And so environmental toxins are these ubiquitous endocrine disruptors that are just everywhere, right? And endocrine disruptors are plastics and parabens and phthalates, and it's plastics and pesticides. So anything that's in plastic, get rid of it. Anything like soft plastic is the worst, you know, things like cellophane wrap, like the plastic wrap, you got to get that shit out of your life. Individual use plastics, water bottles, got to get it out of your life. And it's going to disrupt your hormones. It's going to disrupt your children's hormones. And, you know, I'm big on protecting children, man. Like, get your kids out of off plastics, plastic straws, like all got to get rid of it, because your testosterone is going to decline. Even if your testosterone levels show good on a test, like I'm in therapeutic range, you can still have symptoms of low testosterone because of endocrine disruptors. They're disrupting the hormones at the level of the receptor, right? They prevent the testosterone from actually getting into the cell and being effective. So that's your first thing, is like, get that stuff out and then optimize your body composition, because your body's going to be converting testosterone to estrogen at a very high rate. Testosterone has three primary fates, right? It can go to free testosterone, which is where it gets used in the body. It can go to DHT or it can go to estrogen. And so we want to ultimately get as much as we can to go into free testosterone. And we can't necessarily prevent it from going into DHT and estrogen, but we can certainly do our best to decrease the direction, right? We want to make sure most of it's going into free testosterone where it can be utilized in the cell. So a big way is decreasing the xenoestrogens, which is the environmental estrogens. Again, so what are those? Pesticides, so eating organic when you can. Filtered water is massive. Removing plastics from your adult life. And not actually, here's a big one that doesn't get a lot of attention. Things that have a scent are really bad for you're breathing in estrogens, right? You're breathing in these forever chemicals, basically, right? Even on your clothing, your skin, like using polyester clothing, is a really bad idea in general. So, new car smell, candles, paint. Paint thinners, things that are like very highly scented, those things tend to have these chemicals that you can breathe in that will absolutely disrupt your endocrine system. And this is a big problem with the kind of demasculinization, right? You guys probably heard me talk about this before. You got to be neurotic. If you're going to be neurotic about something, be neurotic about that stuff. Like, don't allow the world, this chemical world we live in, to castrate you and your boys and your children, right? It's a problem. It's a big problem because it starts in utero, right? So actually, just spoke with somebody today. There's three primary times in your life when testosterone is, you're going to get these surges in testosterone. There's three of them. First one happens in utero when boys and girls differentiate. Some become boys, some become girls. And it has to be this surge of testosterone produced in utero. And if we don't get that, then there can be this differentiation problem where boys ultimately have, you know, gender issues. And then there's a second one that happens in the first six to eight months, where again, this is like, it can determine the size of your penis, the size of your testicles, and again, further gender differentiation. And the third one is in puberty. And so we have these three surges of testosterone that can be massively impacted by your environment, right? If you're consuming a lot, or your mom or your wife or whomever is consuming a lot of environmental toxins, estrogens, then the likelihood of developing as a young man is a problem. So we want to be aware of that. We want to be super aware of that stuff. And obviously, guys, the body composition one, I've had a lot of really useful insights lately. You guys know that I'm building a certification. So a lot of my time has been spent researching not just the process, but the behavior, you know, understanding human behavior and how I hope each and every one of you thinks about this. If you're not following your diet, you're not a bad person. If you're not able to do your workouts because you're feeling tired, you're not a bad person, man. So I always want you guys to understand differentiating between the behavior and the person. And this is with yourself, but also with the people in your life, right? If someone does something bad, that doesn't make them a bad person. Maybe you don't like the behavior, but it's not the person. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about what drives behavior. Like, why do people not follow through in the diet plan? Why do people not follow through on their workouts? And the lens through which I make this decision is the nervous system, right? Your nervous system is driving your life from a conscious and subconscious mind perspective. The nervous system and the balance between the amygdala and the sympathetic nervous system is determining many of our behaviors. And so sometimes when you guys get into this situation where maybe you fail in a diet or you don't feel like you have the energy to follow through on your commitments, oftentimes there's something existing at a subconscious level that's driving your ability to follow through. And one of the things I say is, instead of condemning, become curious, right? I talk to the coaches about this all the time. If a client isn't following through on their commitments or on their ability on whatever's in front of them, it's not a problem with the person. It's a problem with the circumstance, and the circumstance needs to be intervened with. And so we all have coping strategies, right? You guys may have heard me talk about this before. So when you don't, every decision we're making minute to minute to minute is simply a decision to, for most people, I should say this, decisions are either objective or subjective, right? Objective is I'm moving towards something. I have a bigger goal and I'm moving in that direction. And I don't really care what my circumstance is, right? So if I'm moving toward being 10% body fat, my coach gives me a plan, 10% of people follow it objectively and they never question it. And then 90% of us, everyone else, there's some influence in our life by our feelings, our emotions, and our circumstances. Everyone agree with that? At some level, your feelings, your circumstance, and your emotions play into how life happens. Some people can just be soldiers and they just follow it. Some people are like, man, you know, I don't feel good today. I feel tired. I feel these emotions. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm whatever. And it influences. And so that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you or a bad person. It just means maybe you've got big emotions, man. Maybe you've got a lot going on in your life. You've got a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, whatever. Maybe there's some negative association with these things, with the result you're trying to get. And you have to then become aware of what is the influence in your body that's causing these behavioral changes that you don't want, right? So as an example, some people get anxiety, and anxiety creates the desire to eat, the desire to take alcohol, the desire to take a drug, the desire to take a pill, something. It's a coping strategy, right? So every minute, you guys have a feeling in your body. And so many of us are mentally disconnected from our body, right? We're in our head, but we're not in our body. And we don't realize that our body, the nervous system is creating tone. It's creating feelings inside the body, and the nervous system is guiding your behaviors. So if you start to become aware of the state inside your body that preempted the behavior that you didn't want, you can start to intervene, right? So if there's a behavior in your life where you're like, hey, you know, I did that thing and I don't want to do that thing anymore. And that could be alcohol, drugs, cheating on your diet, whatever, porn, social media. There's a feeling that preempted the behavior. If you can start to become aware of the feeling that preempted it, you can start to change it. And so this is why meditation is so effective, because you can actually change it way before you even get the feeling. You can even change your likelihood of ever getting that feeling again. But if you're getting those feelings and those things that are driving behaviors you don't want, I call it creating a wedge, right? We want to become cognitively aware. We have to be aware to be present and make the change. And then we want to put something in between stimulus and response, or feeling and response. And so to start to do that requires a high level of personal awareness. And so if you guys are experiencing something in your life you'd rather change, sitting with it in the moment and going, what is actually happening right now, right? Am I stressed? Am I anxious? Am I tired? Am I really hungry? or am I really just bored? Or is it just some feeling that I've come to create a meaning on that isn't actually hunger or isn't actually being tired or isn't actually anxiety? It's just some feeling of almost emptiness or some other emotion that I'm putting a meaning on. Does that make sense? Yeah. So what I encourage you, I guess the point of my rambling is, what I encourage you guys to do is in the moment of decision, right? In the moment of decision where you're like, I'm about to go grab the cookies, or I'm about to go do this thing I'm not supposed to do, or I'm about to not go to the gym, or whatever it happens to be, you got to change your state, right? Your state is determining the action. And so looking for some different positive coping strategy rather than a negative coping strategy is a really, really, really important thing. And you got to become present in what you're doing. So Russ is asking a question. Knowing the effects of feelings and circumstances, what are your biggest hack to stay in the driver's seat when we are at cause rather than effect in our lives? Meditation, morning routine. Russ, good question. So I'll repeat it live for everybody. Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
I said I think you were answering the question as I wrote it. So
yeah. I'll read it anyways. Knowing the effect of feelings and circumstances, what is your biggest hack to stay in the driver's seat when we know we are at cause rather than effect in our life? Meaning we are the creator of our responses, our actions, right? So thoughts and feelings create behaviors. And so we have a thought based on a feeling, right? So that we get a feeling in our body, which many of us don't acknowledge. It creates a thought being like, oh, maybe I'm hungry. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm sad. Maybe I'm angry. Then the thought ultimately reinforces the feeling, sometimes makes it bigger. And then we follow through on the action. I'll say it's not always easy to change your behaviors with your mind, right? Your mind is the thinking mind that gets you where you want to go. Trying to consciously override the subconscious can be very difficult unless you have a purpose, right? That's why I said earlier, purpose is the way people change their life because they have a bigger purpose. So thinking about changing a behavior is very hard, but moving or intervening in some way to change your state is a way more effective strategy to changing the behavior you're trying to change. So you guys will all get this. The next time you're doing something you're like, what the fuck am I doing? Why did I do that? The intervention is you change your environment or you change your state. And both of those can be the same, right? Just like, hey, I'm going to go for a 5-minute walk, or I'm going to go do 10 pushups, or I'm going to do 30 pushups. Anything that's enough to change the way you feel. Do you know that point in the workout where like, you know, like you like, fuck, I didn't want to be here today. But you noticeably get to a point in your workout where you're like, I feel good now. I'm ready to go, right? We've all been there. You have to induce that somehow, right? It doesn't have to be to the extent that you wouldn't work out, but you have to induce some type of state change. It could be like, I'm going to do 10 pushups. I'm going to do 30 squats. I'm going to go for a 5-minute walk. I'm going to do some breath work. Anything that creates a wedge between stimulus and response and ultimately changes your physiological state. And here's the thing. If you do it enough times, it becomes behavior. It becomes a habit, right? So in the first couple of times, it's going to take consciously overriding your desire to unconsciously do something, right? We all have these unconscious drivers. Your unconscious mind is driving the bus at all times. And the unconscious mind is driven by sometimes stress. Unconscious mind is driven by your primal urges. I have to keep myself safe. I want to keep myself nourished. I want to keep myself, out of fear, out of anger, out of anxiety, liked, wanted. Instant gratification, subconscious mind, right? We want to override it with the conscious mind, and the conscious mind sometimes doesn't override the subconscious mind. It's very hard. Subconscious is often driving the bus. So the way we do that, as I said, is you give the subconscious mind what it wants in a different way. Subconscious mind just wants to feel good. It wants to feel safe, right? It's the drive to have sex. It's the drive to eat. It's the drive to be on social media. It's the drive to get instant gratification. I just want to feel good. So you got to give it to it sometimes, but not in the way that it wants, right? Not in the way that it wants, in the way that you need. That's best for you. Yeah, Dom, thanks for sharing, man. So the reason, again, this isn't meant to be a testosterone conversation, but you know, for anyone who's having a hard time losing fat, realize it's really fucking easy once you figure out the fact that it's just behavior. It's not a diet problem. It's not a food problem. It's a behavior problem. And when you can learn to hack the behavior, then the diet is easy, right? And the way that I've learned to hack the behavior is I learned to love the discomfort of sitting in those emotions. Sometimes they're overwhelming, no question. Sometimes the anxiety, the inadequacy, all the fear, that goes can be overwhelming. But when you learn to sit with them, you realize they're just feelings and they don't have to drive your behaviors. And you learn to love the discomfort of being hungry. You learn to love the discomfort of being tired. You learn to love the discomfort of the burn and the workouts. That becomes your friend, becomes your companion. And we move toward it rather than away from it. And this is not easy, right? It's not easy in the beginning, because in the beginning, everything in our subconscious is like, get me out of this discomfort. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I want to feel warm and cozy and nice all the time. But when you learn to sit with your discomfort, it becomes your best friend. Yeah. When you're lonely, you realize I'm not lonely. I've always got something there with me. You know, people try to fill those gaps with food or with alcohol or with whatever, because the feeling is so overwhelming. You know, I come from a family of alcoholics. I know what overwhelming feelings are like. They don't know how to fucking deal with it. It's just too hard. And if someone came along and said, hey, you don't allow your feelings don't need to drive your behaviors. Like, I understand they're so overwhelming that it's impossible to change for them. But if it's someone come along really early and said, those feelings are your best friend. They're just trying to tell you something that's important. How can we help you with that? They may not have went down that path, right? For me now, unfortunately, many of the people in my family is too far gone, but I try to support them in the moment of like, I empathize with their pain, you know, huge emotions, huge amounts of pain. And some of you guys may feel the same way.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, brother.
Can I interject a little bit?
Yep.
So what do you think, or what's a stepping stone in the direction of, you know, finding, you know, enjoying those feelings or leaning into those feelings? You know, what can we do to kind of like work ourselves in that direction? Like, I'm a stress eater, right? So I stress and then I freaking go grab pizza, you know, like, yep. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, I do, man. So I say this to my kids, right? So and I don't know if you got kids, Spencer, but the worst time to teach a child a lesson is when they're in the middle of doing the dumb thing. So let's say my kids are doing something bad. I'm like, oh, don't do that. You're, you know, like, well, they're not going to fucking learn. So when do you teach them how to not do the thing away from the bad behavior? So, and what I'm getting at is, you know, if I want to teach my kids to modulate their emotions, let's say my kids are throwing a temper tantrum in the middle of a grocery store. Well, I can't teach them in that moment. I have to teach them in the morning, like away from that time. So we'll literally sit down in the morning and I'll be like, sweetheart, come and sit on my lap. And we'll sit and we'll breathe together. And so that way, when they're in the grocery store throwing the temper tantrum, I can be, hey, sweetheart, breathe. I'm like, oh, I taught them the skill separate from the three fire alarm, right? Or three alarm fire. So same thing, man. Like, what you need to do, Spencer, is like build something into your life that allows you to learn the skill that you're going to need separate from the event. So what I'm getting at is meditation, right? How many of you have a hard time sitting in meditation? Meditation is no different than when you're sitting in a stressful moment, because you're going to sit in meditation and all those emotions are going to come up. You're going to be like, I don't want to be here. My brain says, get me the fuck out of here. I'm uncomfortable. I'm unhappy. I got to go. I'm like, so many things to do. And you're going to go, nope, I'm just going to sit here. Or get in a cold plunge, Spencer. And all those thoughts and emotions are going to come up and you're going to be like, nope, I'm just going to sit here. So the next time those emotions come up for you in a stressful situation in life, you're like, nope, I'm just going to sit here. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you build discomfort into life so that when discomfort comes up, you're just like, oh, I know you. And I can sit with you all fucking day. And you're not going to take me over, right? And that's why most successful people in the world meditate, It's because you're going to get all of it, man. You're going to get all the range of like, my back hurts, my ass hurts, my legs falling asleep, all of it, right? And you're going to be like, I'm just going to sit here with you. Thank you for trying to wake me up. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to be with it.
Hey, Ben, I think the awareness piece is huge. I know that I was talking to Chris, my coach, and he was saying, I was telling him like, man, I'm getting really hungry, like right before bed, like an hour before bed. I'm starving. It's like I hadn't eaten all day. And he was like, good. That's good. You know, like it's a natural feeling. And so when he started to describe and bring awareness to it, I found myself going to the kitchen to go get something to eat. And I'm like, no, I'm supposed to feel like this and that's okay. Yep. And so just the awareness piece of like, this is supposed to happen. And I do that even now with, you know, like something stupid, somebody cuts me off, gives me the finger. And I'm like, what the hell are you giving me a finger for? You're the one who came. And I'm like, no, it's a natural response to be pissed at somebody who goes against what, you know, how I think they should drive, whatever. I'm like, yeah. And it's not even, so it's just the awareness piece of like, this is how I'm supposed to feel. And that's okay. And just walking yourself through that has been huge for me. So shout out to Chris for bringing awareness.
Let me give you another depth of awareness. So when I'm hungry, the feeling of hunger is initiated by a hormone called ghrelin. Ghrelin is a hunger hormone. Ghrelin is also very highly associated with growth hormone. So when ghrelin gets released, the body also releases growth hormone. Growth hormone is our hormone that's going to make us leaner. It's going to recover all of our tissues in our body. It's going to help to regenerate. It's the most regenerative hormone we've got. So when I get hungry, I also know I've got growth hormone, which also means I'm recovering, which also means I'm getting leaner. So when I feel hunger, I'm like, especially before bed, I'm like, my body's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, right? So you're like, this is where I want to be. This is what my body needs while I sleep. Thank you. Yeah. Russ, so I've done a lot of different types of meditation, buddy. If you're just new, my highest recommendation goes to Sam Harris. So I don't always use Sam Harris now, but for anyone who's like new or having a hard time getting into meditation, Sam Harris's Waking Up app is the best. Dude, the guy's phenomenal. Like the way he talks about meditation, the way he gets you to meditate, there's nobody better, I think. And some people actually hate him. Some people are like, I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his voice. Drives me crazy. Fine. But his app, I can send you a free month, Russ. If you want, I'll send it to you on Telegram. Anyone else, I'll drop in the group tonight if you guys want a free month. I couldn't recommend it more highly. To be honest, I use Zap every day. I don't use it for his daily meditation, but I use it before sleep. So he's got like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of like lessons and meditations on there. And before bed, I'll always listen to like something spiritual to kind of bring me into a nice subconscious place. And so it's important for you guys to realize if you want to reprogram your subconscious mind, which is ultimately the mind that's determining your outcomes, right? It happens before bed or first thing in the morning. And so I'll always play something. I'll always first do like a gratitude and then a visualization of, and I'm really specific and I'll share what I do. I visualize how I show up every day. And so am I showing up positive? Am I showing up energized? Am I showing up in gratitude? Am I showing up in appreciation? And I'll visualize that before bed. I'll kind of replay my day in my mind and go like, oh, did I show up at my highest and best? And if I didn't, I'll change it in my mind. Be like, oh, this is how I could have showed up. This is how I should show up. And I'll do the same for the next day. I'm like, how am I going to show up for my work? If you guys, this is a huge hack. If you guys wake up in the morning and you feel tired, before you go to bed, visualize yourself waking up energized. Like I pop out of bed, I'm happy, I'm doing my gratitude, I feel energized, I have more than enough workout, I get to the gym and I'm fucking enthusiastic, I'm inspiring, I'm living my best life. I picture that as I go to bed. And so guess what waking up feels like in the morning? Do you think it's like groggy and shitty? You jump out of bed and you're like, I'm a leader, man. I'm here to inspire the world and lead my community. I'm not going to fucking show up and be like, I feel like shit, like rub stuff out of my eyes. But no, man, like I'm like, do I need coffee? No, coffee comes from my heart. Right. I like coffee, but I don't eat it. And so I think that way, if you can reprogram your mind before you go to bed, man, what a game changer. There's a book actually. Let me suggest this one to you guys. Called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind The author is Joseph Murphy. Again, I've got, if you guys want books, man, I got endless. I listen to a lot of books, or read a lot of books. That would be a highly suggested one. Super easy read. Just talking about how to kind of influence your subconscious mind. One that I've consumed recently, I think I recommended it on one of these calls recently, is Napoleon Hill. Grow Rich with Peace of Mind. So everyone sort of think and grow rich, but another one is Grow Rich with Peace of Mind. It's a good one, kind of unheard of, but really, really good book along these lines. And there's another great one that I love is Mindfulness in Action by Chogyam Trungpa. That one's free on Audible. Really good book. Those are just like spiritual stuff. If you guys want to get into some spiritual stuff. So coming back to testosterone, because I want to make sure this is touched at length. I interviewed a guy today, and it was actually a great, great interview. We had some interesting, if you guys have listened to it, we had some interesting kind of like confrontational exchanges, we'll say. Maybe that'll get edited out. Maybe it won't. but point being, he kind of got into like, I don't know if you guys are taking testosterone, but he got into some of the research, and he's like, man, everyone's just confused. He's like, testosterone on its own doesn't have negative side effects. He's like, there's zero research that shows testosterone has negative side effects. And so we literally went through like the list. He's like, I'm like estrogen, body fat, cardiovascular health, like going through. And he's like, nope, never been substantiated or proven. It's all just been perpetuated by the media's propaganda to get us to be, you know, not taking testosterone, which is interesting. The only negative side effect he did acknowledge is hair loss. That one's kind of hard to reverse, but possible. And so it's interesting. And he said, you know, if you're not feeling the way you want to feel, increase the dose. And I'm like, well, at what point does it become bad? He goes, it doesn't. He's like, you'll max out your estrogen negative side effects, which doesn't have any negative. He's like, there's a peak. It's like, it doesn't go any higher than that. Same with DHT. It doesn't go any higher than that. And this guy's been doing this a long time. And he said, well, just increase your testosterone until you get the result you want, as far as the feeling. And I'm like, what about blood pressure? He's like, blood pressure is not affected by testosterone. So like, we went through so when we associate testosterone with all these negative side effects, what he very eloquently pointed out, he's like, you don't associate with testosterone. You associate with bodybuilders. And bodybuilders are using a hell of a lot more than just testosterone. It's like bodybuilders using a bunch of different androgens, a bunch of different substances. So you associate, you know, like all these negative effects with bodybuilders, which is true. High blood pressure, heart disease, all these bodybuilders, because bodybuilders use fucking 30 other molecules that nobody else talks about. It's like, it's not testosterone. It's like, it's all the other stuff that's negative, which is interesting. And again, I'm not saying guys, you should all go out and use testosterone or high dosages. Although I think he's got a lot of very valid points. So that was useful. I'm going to pause because I've been talking a lot. You guys have any questions? I can keep talking all day. I can come back to the four avatars that we talked about. If anyone's on testosterone and wants some help to be more effective, someone's not on testosterone and is thinking about it, someone's natural and wants to enhance or wants to make it better naturally. What do you guys, anything that comes up for you guys that you want to discuss?
Hey, Ben, I have a question. I'd heard a statistic that the average testosterone level of a 20-year-old man today is what the equivalent of a 60-year-old man in the year 2000. Is that accurate?
No. Not exactly. I'll tell you the one reason. In 1986, they've proposed that there's been a 1% decline every year since 1986. So, what, 40 years, almost 38 years. So 1% decline. So they said a 20-year-old in 1985 will have 37% more testosterone than a 20-year-old now, basically. And it continues to go. And so why is that, right? Here's the question. Why is that? And the biggest culprit seems to be these endocrine disruptors. And it's not like it's affecting you now, Russ. It is. But it's affected you, maybe not yourself, but like it's affecting the boys now because their mother has so much toxin in her uterus, in her skin, in her cells, makeup, plastic, pesticides is everywhere. And those are killing people. And so it starts then. So it's not necessarily us now. It's this decline from the environment. So that would be the thing that if you're going to be neurotic about anything, I don't know if you plan on having any more kids, Russ, but like that would be the thing to be neurotic about with your wife. Like you're not wearing makeup, you're not eating non-organic foods, like feed, you know, and it's in her, I think the two biggest, there's three, as I said earlier, there's two big testosterone things, one in utero, one in the first 6 months. So you got to make sure your kids are really, it's basically coming from mom, you know, because like what do kids eat in the first 6 months? Mother's milk, typically, right? Don't fucking put your kids on formula. Like I used to bribe my wife. That's not a lie. I used to bribe her to breastfeed. I'm like, I'll give you whatever you want. You just fucking breastfeed for the first 18 months. Like I hired multiple lactation ladies because she was having some trouble. I was like, I don't care. Like I'll fucking sit here with you every time. We're going to breastfeed. I'm like, we're going to figure this out. If I have to suck on the nipples myself, I'm going to make that milk come out. So like, we're going to make this shit happen. Yeah. And then feeding her really well. Yeah. Not exactly accurate, Russ, but I would say,
I didn't want to misquote that.
Yeah. There's a lot of misquotes, man. And people throw statistics around because it tries to be sensational. And at the end of the day, man, like, yes, there's a big problem. Yes, we need to address it. And yes, it's not going to fucking happen at the level of the population. It's got to happen at the level of the individual because there's no way they're going to stop making plastic. There's no way you're going to stop doing pesticides. There's no way they're going to stop making perfumes that are like candles and shit that it's just toxic, man. And like even your clothing, right? You're like putting polyester against your testicles is going to increase your estrogens because polyester is from petroleum, which is going to increase estrogens, an endocrine disruptor. So you got to be aware of it. So Christian, interesting learning how to enhance testosterone naturally. I'm not going to go to supplements first. I want to talk about other stuff first. So I think there's a lot of subjective stuff that you can do, man. I think so. The subjective stuff, meaning like, you know, the thing that comes to mind is what do you do every day that's teaching you how to be aggressive? So you think of testosterone, it's like there's clinical data that shows like screaming will increase testosterone acutely. Lifting really heavy will increase your testosterone acutely. Having a lot of sex will increase your testosterone acutely. Loud music will increase your testosterone acutely. So there's like all these things that kind of go away from what society perpetuates. Like, so one thing that I very much developed in my gym was like when people come to my gym, they train differently than everywhere else because I expected it, and so I created a safe space for people to like, you're going to be aggressive, you're going to work harder than you've ever worked before, and it's going to be accepted. And that's just missing. We don't have a safe container for which we can be met. Like everything's always like, I'm worried about judgment. I'm worried about what are people thinking? I'm worried about whatever. Right. And so I think Christian, start with some of that stuff. It's like, where am I giving myself the space to be primal? Right. And primal can be how I move. Primal can be nature. Primal can be food. Primal can be like spending a lot of time naked and have a lot of sex. Like, how can you get back to like those natural primal things that will increase testosterone over time? But also then you got to go, well, am I eating to support my testosterone? Am I sleeping to support my testosterone? Is my environment supporting it, right? Lighting can just be destroying your testosterone. So I would be aware of all those. Now let's talk supplements. Yeah, there's some that can improve it. I'm actually working on a formulation right now. So I'm working with a geneticist because I'm working at the level of genetics, right? And I think the next level of evolution in supplements is going to be working at the level of genetics, so directly influencing the genome. So I'm literally building one right now. It's actually done. We're going to start putting into production pretty soon. And there's some supplements that work. And I'll tell you, the base level, man, is like, make sure you're getting your minerals. So don't forget magnesium, zinc, boron, your basics, right?
Where's a good way to get boron? I keep looking for it in the States. I can't seem to find it unless it's mixed with other shit.
No, you can get just pure boron on Amazon, brother. Look, they'll have like 3 milligram boron. Just look on Amazon. What's up, Russ? You got a source?
Borax. It's sold in the laundry section of every grocery store. It is boron. It's not a laundry detergent. It's a laundry booster. I drink it every day. It's completely safe.
I'm not going to advocate that. I believe if you say so, man, but
it's
I don't know.
It's not a detergent. It's a salt. It's a mineral. Huh. It's a natural mineral. It's used as a laundry booster, not a detergent. But
I'm very familiar with borax. I didn't realize it was just boron.
Yep.
Huh. I you didn't hear from me, man. I don't know. I'm going to look that up. I don't want people dying.
I'll post a link in the Telegram group if you want and do what you will with it.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, fuck, that's interesting.
I'll try anything once.
I'm not blowing bubbles when I'm speaking, so it's not detergent.
Right. Yeah. And what's the other one? There's another selenium. Selenium is important too. And you, selenium, man, is so easy. Just eat like 8 to 10 Brazil nuts a day. That's it. Selenium, get all your selenium.
Hey Ben, is there anything for like getting light on your nuts, like sun or red light or anything like that?
Yeah, there is actually. So I don't know that. So the whole perineum sun tanning is not if you guys know, like the butthole tanning. I'm not sure that I'm I believe it. I think it's a bit of a gimmick. But getting sun on your balls, actually, there's quite a bit of data around that. So because sun directly is impacting infrared light. So the red light directly will increase mitochondrial function, and mitochondrial function produces energy, and energy helps to produce testosterone. So you need it. So the rate limiting factor in most things in the body is energy production at the level of the mitochondria. So there's definitely value in shining red light on your balls, believe it or not. Yeah, I don't know how much it would increase testosterone, like, but they'll definitely subjectively it should. Again, I don't know if there's any data on it, but it should. What else you got, boys? You know, I can keep rapping on this stuff all day. Mats, I love you sitting on my desk there, brother. Mats is in my office.
I'm afraid to unmute myself because you guys will hear the screams actually from the club here.
Yeah.
Ben, is it true that it's a little bit easier to stimulate natural testosterone response if you're in a surplus of calories versus a deficit?
Good question. Both work acutely. So a short-term caloric deficit can actually increase testosterone, and a short-term caloric excess can actually increase testosterone. So it seems like if you wanted to bump your testosterone, the best way would be to be cycling calories. Yeah, so both work, interestingly. I don't know the duration, but it's probably in the realm of like 5 to 7 days of a deficit, 5 to 7 days of an excess. Both of them can work. Yeah.
Awesome. Now let's say the guys on the call follow through on all the natural things that they can do to optimize their natural production of testosterone. They dial in on training, effectiveness and efficiency, on nutrition and training, their recovery metrics and everything. And they go get a plan all done. And let's say they're kind of like around 850, 900 total test, and their free test is relatively good. How would somebody know, like, hey, I've kind of like peaked my natural ability to like push this as far as it can go, and now I'm in a position where maybe I want to entertain exogenous support? Because that's like what I'm trying to do personally. And maybe that's relative to like a lot of the guys.
Mats, it's just a personal decision, man. I think it's just acknowledging that the stigma around testosterone that the media perpetuates is fucking nonsense. And if you're like, hey, man, I just think I could feel a little bit better or look a little bit better, then do it. And I don't think there's a, like, people have these stigmas like, oh, you know, you're juiced up or you're going to get sick or you're going to die. Like, all that's just bullshit. It doesn't make any sense. So yeah, man, I think it's just like, do I want to be better? Do I feel like there's more in the tank? Then do it. And you can always go off, right? That's the thing that you're not doing something that's irreversible, right? There's millions of people that have gone on and come off and are just as good. You just have to learn how to come off effectively.
What was the documentary that broke down the stigma of this? Bigger, Faster, Stronger?
Bigger, Faster, Stronger, yeah. Chris Bell. That's Mark Bell's brother. I should get him on the podcast, actually. Chris and I are tight. Chris is a good guy. I think he's been on the podcast. Him and Mark both have been. Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's the whole, it's actually Joe Biden, as funny as it sounds, was actually the guy who way back in the day, who basically just was fucking completely full of shit when it came to testosterone. It's like all that, he had no idea what he was talking about. He was in that documentary. He's the one who made steroids illegal. Was it on the Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa era?
Did you say Joe Biden? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He was the guy responsible for making steroids illegal. Or Schedule One.
All I can do is laugh right now at that.
Dave, what's the process of coming off? Hide as quickly as you can. Get onto HCG. So like give yourself, 1 to 2 weeks off the testosterone. You need about at least 10 to 14 days. And then you can just get right on HCG and you'll do 1500 to 3000 IUs three times a week. And take that for 6 weeks. You should be back. You should be good. If you're not back to normal by then, you add in some Clomid. Clomid can be 50 milligrams every 2 to 3 days. And you should be good within 6 to 12 weeks. Yeah. HCG is, I think it's hard to get in the US now, actually. Easy to get in Canada. Hard to get in the US. Hard, like just expensive, but easy to get in Canada. But you'll kick back up relatively quick. And so, Dave, if you're on testosterone now, I would actually, I don't know if you ever have any desire to have kids, add HCG in now as well. Because so what happens when you take testosterone is your body stops producing testosterone in the testes. So that actually stops spermatogenesis, the production of sperm. So if you ever have a desire, if you're like, fuck, I don't want to have kids, I'm done, then keep going. But if you're like, if it's ever a possibility for you, you take HCG as well when you're on testosterone.
That was my question, because I never wanted to do it because I want to have another kid maybe. But what is it? HTG? What is that?
HCG. Oh, human. Yep, human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG.
Well, if I decide to take the plunge, I'll hit you guys up or my coach, and if I decide to do it. But I'm trying to fight it as long as I can to not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing pretty good without it, buddy. So if you feel like you got another gear in the tank, I always say like testosterone is going to give you just, like metaphorically your claws and your fangs, man. It just gives you a little bit of drive, a little bit of like aggression, a little, and not in a negative way, just like a little bit more desire to go out and do shit, like be masculine, driven, get shit done, work a little harder. Yeah. Not be a bitch.
Ben, how often would you recommend having your testosterone tested?
Are you on it or not?
No. Well, not currently, no.
Every 6 months. Do you have any symptoms, man, or no?
No.
Yeah, they're not. It's just as often as you do your blood normally. Like, if you have no symptoms, I would suggest everyone does their blood at least every six to 12 months. Like, 12 months, once a year is, like, non-negotiable. Every 6 months is ideal if you get something to work on. If you feel great for every 12 months, is fine. Think of it as a baseline, Jimmy. Like, you're whatever age you are now, like, you got to be able to look back in 5 years and go, okay, where was I then? How do I get back there? Because if you don't want to have a steady decline, right? Yeah. All right, gentlemen, if nothing else.
Then Brian had a question in the chat.
Oh, I didn't see it. So Brian needs a detox protocol. 23 years of work in the oil industry and petroleum products every day. Right. Brian, I'm thinking. So the best guy to answer that question effectively is Dr. Brian Walsh. Have you had blood tests, Brian, in the last 6 months? Brian? Are you driving? I'm sorry, you're driving, bro. Don't worry about it. Andrew, is he your client?
Yeah.
So check if he's got blood. Let's see if we can get urine and stool as well. And then regardless of whatever comes back, we'll get them on detox protocol. Because like Brian, detoxing is something that you're not sure what you're detoxing is impossible. But the best, depending on what comes back, the best guy in the world in detoxification that I know is Dr. Brian Walsh. He's like somewhere in the Midwest. Well, we can get you lined up, man. And the first thing you can do, primary detoxification pathways, sweating, urination, and defecating, right? So support them. Get in the saunas as often as you can. Drink a lot of water with electrolytes and increase your fiber intake. That's like base level. On top of that, make sure you're eating enough protein. So like you think of like detoxification happens in three phases. So you got to support those detoxification pathways. Primary, like I said, the first thing is like you got to increase your ability to excrete everything. So drink more water, which obviously increases excretion. Sweat more often, which is exercise and saunas, and then poop as well as you can. So make sure you get enough fiber. That's base. On top of that, taking some essential amino acids can be very useful. I mean, essential amino acids and antioxidants like polyphenols is important for you. On top of that, anything specific, if there's like heavy metals or if there's plastics and shit like that, there's additional stuff you can do, but you got to know exactly what's there before you want to detoxify it. You can make yourself really sick by taking random detoxification protocols. You don't want to do that. Got that, Andrew? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I would just meant like get a lot of fiber in your diet, move a lot, and make sure you're decreasing any type of current intake of, you know what may be useful, Andrew? Getting a True Diagnostics epigenetics test. So epigenetics can tell you what your historical damage is in every system in the body. So like how much damage you've done to, because what happens is when you're exposed to toxins, your body upregulates its detoxification pathways. So like as an example, if I'm in a smoky environment, my body has to detoxify the smoke. So it upregulates those systems. Every time it upregulates those systems, it leaves a mark on the genetic, on the gene. So you can look at all your genetic marks, like the epigenetic marks on all of your genes to see what pathways are most stressed. It's like $400 or $500. So testing might be expensive, Brian. I'm not sure what that looks like for you now, man, but like you're probably looking at all in 1500 to $2,000 for all your testing. If you want to do it all, we can be selective if you're on a budget.
No, that would be excellent if you guys could be guided the way on that.
Yeah, for sure. Happy to do it. Andrew, do like have Greg do like the full platinum blood panel and then add in epigenetics. Right there.
Ben, I'll follow up with Greg. Related to the methylation test.
Yep. What's the question?
The test that you just talked about, you just brought up regarding genetics, is that related to the methylation test? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, dude. Brecka's a salesman. Just say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's selling a four tests for $500 and it's worth pennies. And he's obviously sells and making a ton of money, but the methylation test is not what you think it is. Is it useful? Yeah. But is it not? It's not like the one test that everyone needs to do to determine what the fuck you're gonna do with themselves. It's ridiculous. Actually, I'll drop a link in the Telegram group tonight. There's a guy named Chris Masterjohn who kind of did like a rebuttal to Gary's sales pitch.
Yeah, he's a beast, Masterjohn.
He's unbelievably brilliant. Yeah, right.
Sarah already messaged me about True Diagnostics. So
perfect. And Sarah, if you're listening, we have to connect with Ryan from True Diagnostics, Ryan Smith, because some of my clients want to get their stuff interpreted, and we need to make sure he does that, because the report they send is not awesome. So we need to connect with Ryan or Hannah to get the reports, or get like a somewhat useful interpretation. All right, gents, let's wrap up. Guys, enjoy your evening. As always, I hope we provide some value for you guys. That's what we're here to do. If we did, I appreciate you guys making the time. I don't take that lightly. Guys, thank you for being here, and let's all go crush it this week. Okay, lead your communities, lead your families, lead yourself, guys. Let's crush it. Talk soon.
Thanks, Ben. Now that the time changed, it's much easier to get on at 4, so I should be around more often.
Sweet, brother. Awesome, man. Look forward to it. Thanks, right. Spencer.
Thanks, guys. Buddy.